everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 477. I am your wayward host, the prodigal host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And this is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, mini PCs a lot here lately, and just, you know, whatever else, local city government, who knows. And of course, the guy, you're really here to see the grand poobah of the Podnuts Network, door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, D. Wow. Hey, Door. How you doing?
I'm definitely a poo something. I'm a little crazy. I'm now in a state of limbo, constantly waiting to hear from an insurance company, which I don't know if you know yet. So let me see if I can get a little shock value out of you.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm showing Mark my car. This happened Tuesday on the way home from work on the Key Bridge, which a big bridge is not a place to have an accident, especially a bridge with no shoulders.
You shut down the whole thing, didn't you?
No. As soon as I went over the hump, I saw a little bit of smoke. I saw people stopping. I stopped in my mind correctly with like a car length in front of me. Saw the Chevy Silverado 1500 barreling down. Knew he wasn't going to be able to stop. Let go of my brake before he hit me. Loosened up. He nailed me. I also told the wife, relax. Don't stiffen up. Don't stiffen up. And as soon as he hit, it turned, made sure the wife was conscious. Okay. Talking. Okay. Nothing severely bad. Okay. Now just hit the gas and get the hell off the bridge as fast as I possibly can. I don't want to be involved in a 20 car pileup. So I'm pretty sure the car's totaled, because if you look at that picture I'm showing down at the very bottom, everyone keeps telling me that piece of metal you're looking at, like shooting out of the bumper, is actually the frame. And I'll say this. I had somebody try to say, oh, piece of crap, little mini car. That's why I'd never have a little mini car like that. Piece of crap. Look at it. My logic is, didn't it do what it was supposed to do, which was have it absorb as much as the impact versus my body?
Yeah, from the looks of the accident, it looks like it pretty well stopped right there at the rear eighth of the car. And that's, you know, that's what it's supposed to do. It crumpled.
Yeah, and I'll say, my kids weren't in the car, but honestly, I seriously say if my kids were in the car, that back part, the trunk, is only like a foot and a half, maybe deep. If my kids were in that back seat, sure, they would have been like bumped. They would have been like, you know, had some momentum, but the seats themselves are perfectly intact, perfectly fine. So while it is a little tiny crapster car, as people call it, I honestly think it did its job. Now, part of me honestly is hoping it's totaled so I can get rid of it and get something more, you know, quote unquote normal, maybe. I don't know. But speaking of headaches, because that was the first thing you said when I asked you how you were doing while my video goes absolutely cuckoo bonkers, I forgot. You said you had a headache, and I will tell you, yes, I indeed also had a headache. But thankfully it's, you know, completely gone better. Leg hurts a little bit, but yeah, it's already virtually 100%.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. When you live in a metropolitan area, it's not if, it's when. And you're...
Oh, no, it's not when.
It's how
this
many.
This is the third time in five years I've been rear-ended like this on the way to or from work.
I'm at two. My wife has had one. So we're between the two of us, we're matching your numbers.
Yeah, see, and it's one, what do I have to do to make automated cars a reality? I'll take a cut in pay. As an American, if our government would pay more money to get automated cars as a reality, because I'm tired of getting rear-ended. Two, I literally said to the wife, I'm not opposed now to moving any place and finding a job where I work remotely 100% of the time. I don't care. I really don't care. I'm really tired of getting my car slammed at no fault of my own.
Yeah, I at least five times a week, I look back in my rearview mirror and say, please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. Please don't hit me.
Yeah, not good. So except for, well, and the worst part about it is my Pine book, my $120 Pine book went boom because it was in the trunk in my backpack. So it doesn't work. I had a couple of people tell me, well, you can tell the insurance company it was a Ultra book. No, I really can't. It's a Pine book. It's a $100 laptop.
Well, you paid $100 for it. You can't buy them for $100 now. You got it as a Kickstarter, right?
No, you can still just go to the website, get them same price.
I was trying to help out.
I know. And here's the thing. More than a couple of people said, how do you feel? Wait, don't answer. Go see a lawyer. Go see a lawyer. Go see a doctor. I told them, look, I'd rather earn my money or hit the lotto kind of thing. Me getting hit by a car, that's not the lotto. Two, even if I am extremely money hungry, I still don't see myself doing it. And even if my mindset changes, oh, well, on this pace in another year and a half, 2 years, I'll be able to do it all over again. So, you know, part of me would rather be poor for the rest of my life than feel like I took advantage of a system or even be in pain for a while. I do not want to take advantage of a system. If I'm not hurt, which I'm not hurt, I'm not going to go raise everyone's medical price by a penny here because I'm going doing something unnecessarily. I'm not going to raise everybody's insurance rates by a penny by going and filing false claims. Somebody else.
Yeah, I feel you about the false claims, but you gotta file the real ones. About when I was 22 or younger than that, I was involved in a very severe accident, and I was young. I was a weightlifter back then. I was incredibly fit, and I said, I'm fine. I have literally been in pain every day for the last 20 years, and the insurance company paid me $500. You know.
Oh my goodness.
So there, for every guy out there who refuses to make a false claim, there's a guy like me who was too dumb to know that he should have gotten something in return.
Well, next time I'll file a claim and send something, Mark, because 500 is ridiculous.
Well, I was happy to get it. It paid my tuition that summer, that semester. So, you know, all things being equal, I was pretty happy to get it. But I didn't know that I was going to hurt for the rest of my life as a result of it.
Well, yeah. And I'll say Eric, I believe, has been abducted, and he's being beard shamed for trimming his beard.
I haven't seen the video. He shaved it.
Yeah, it's still something there, but it's nothing like it was.
Unfortunate. I heard that he won the competition, so I'm excited about that.
He won a competition. I believe they gave out maybe three or four prizes, and he did win one of them. Like, I want to say it was most natural beard, I believe, something like that. Because there was one, you know, granddaddy kind of guy with down to his belly button beard, which of course he can't compete.
Well, I had, I can't even remember now what it was, but I had some sort of family obligation about 3 weeks ago. And then the next 3 weeks were all work related. I sent Dora an email and said, you're not going to see me for a month. I'm glad to be back, but I'm really glad to not be working until 10 o'clock every night. It's just been, you know, it's seasonal craziness at work. So I'm glad to be back here just because it means I'm actually sitting at home. And because I get to see you.
Well, and trust me, I was getting the better side of the EM equation. Cause every week I was able to listen to, you, Seth, and Miles.
You got it.
I remembered his name. Wow. And I got to talk to Eric. So I feel like I got the better end of that deal.
Well, I missed you. I'm glad to be back. So let's start off with what are you gonna do? What are you gonna replace that Pinebook with? What's the Android hardware of choice this year, this 6 months?
There is no standout. There is no bright twinkle off in the distance waiting for my money kind of thing. I did purchase a Rock 64. Which is a Raspberry sized computer, same physical size as a Raspberry Pi. I'm pretty sure it's going to have a heatsink on it. The biggest difference is that it's 4 gigs of RAM on it.
Nice.
Which I truly believe it can give great desktop-like experience, but also probably give phenomenal home theater experience. So I'm really hoping there's an Android on it. I'll put it upstairs for the family's home theater needs. And hopefully that will give them a better experience than the Odroid C2, which has never been bad per se. But once in a while, you know, streams die, and I don't know if it's my device or not. Once in a while, they have to reboot. I don't know if that's Cody acting funny or my box kind of thing. So
yeah, I just make it a routine habit to reboot Cody once every week or so.
And I should. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing that I can think of even remotely hot, exciting, you know, thing that I can see on the horizon. I mean, we have phones coming out, Pixel 2, wow, $1,000, I'll pass. Samsung Galaxy 8 Note, I really don't like explosions, I'll pass. You have the crappy Android guy phone coming out with the camera interrupting the screen, the front-facing camera, Essential, meh. He's going to have to release, in my opinion, 2 or 3 phones over a 2 or 3 year time span and give continuous updates for me to give him any of my money. Same thing with the Nokia phone that just launched. I had two people ask me, what do I think? Oh, I think I'm not going to pay any attention to these phones until it's been a couple years and they prove that they're actually serious about this. I don't like being a beta tester, and I don't like propping up other companies when it comes to my, you know, $400-$800 phone. I require a little bit of stability and a little bit of you know, gracefulness while using it.
Well, I don't think I've talked to you guys since I purchased it. You know, I told you my middle child 13th birthday was coming up. I was going to buy the buyer phone. What I ended up deciding on was the Moto G, the fourth edition Moto G. I can't remember. I think it was $249 for that. It's not an expensive phone at all. It has been very very high quality. Let's say I'm looking. Yeah, after tax and everything, $218. So it's even less than that for the fourth gen Moto G. It's been a great phone. Really, it's bigger than my X Pure by just a little bit. The battery life seems to be pretty amazing. So for $200, yeah, it's not the latest gen. I think the G5 is the current one, but you can pick it up for $200. It's a really good, I start to say a really good starter phone or student phone, but I think it's a daily driver for just about anybody. I've been very impressed with it. So there you go.
Yeah. I have to agree, and I believe if you get the Amazon version of it, you save like another $30 or $40
if you agree to have
the
ads
price
on it. Yeah,
right. Which I do believe it's actually very easy to bypass the ads. So it's really, do you want an Amazon branded phone? Is the logic. The only, I don't want to say negative because that really is too strong of a word. The only thing that makes it not compete with the, you know, even the Samsung 8 kind of device. Yes, the specs are not as high, but in experience, the only thing that isn't the same is the camera. And there's really nothing wrong with the camera. It's just not one of those crazy high-end with computing going on for each picture kind of thing. Everything else about the device, because a guy at work had one, I played with for a couple minutes, and I was blown away. I swore it had to be a $400 device.
Yeah, I don't think I would hesitate to buy another one for myself or for my wife at that price point. It's I think a 16 megapixel camera, which is fine. You know, it's a good camera, but it's not magic in any way. But it takes fine pictures. As with all small CMOS type cameras, it doesn't do well in low light. It doesn't have the fancy image stabilization. But you know, it's a get great, you know, basic camera functions. But mostly the, right, you know, 15 hour battery life is pretty impressive.
Oh yeah. Well, that's one of the pluses you get when you take a step down in either processor or screen. You get extremely more battery life. Right now we've always been teetering on, once we figure out how to get more battery out of the phone, first thing manufacturers do is they up the screen res, up the processor, which takes the battery life back down. Because we've had almost the same type of battery life on the mainstream flagships now for like 4 years.
Right.
Yeah. The first thing I gotta talk about, Mark, is actually a app I talked about last week. And put the link here in the chat, which you could also hang out in if you come to podnest.com, click on live on Thursday night, you can see it. An app I bought, and then I had one of my security-minded friends, Zoke, one of the more nicer guys and straight up, straight shooting kind of guys I talked to, heard about the app on the podcast. And as soon as he heard me talk about it, he immediately started voxering me. What the hell is wrong with you, Dor? Okay. I didn't realize it. And he caught it and he let me know. This pupillary distance PD meter by Tech Positive, $2.99 buy. One of the things he stated, which completely, I didn't even catch, is it asks you to use a credit card to put up to your mouth to use the measurement because it's always a standard size. That's true, and that's good. But he said, dear God, don't use a credit card, because this would be the perfect tool for them to put out a tool and say, here, take a selfie, get your pupillary distance, and they could take the pictures, feed them back up to their servers, and pull the credit card numbers off and sell them on the black market. To which I stopped for a second and thought, I think you're right, Zoke. And he said, look, you have other cards. Right. He said, like a Blockbuster card.
Insurance card, anything like that. Yeah.
Yes, as long as it's the same size, feel free to use that. But he said under no circumstance should anybody use an actual credit card or take a credit card, cut a piece of paper or cardboard the same size and use that. Whatever you do, do not use a credit card. And I can't agree with him more. So good call, Zoke. Thank you for not making fun of me publicly, but instead letting me know privately that I was an idiot. And in a very kind fashion, too.
Yeah, I don't know that I would have jumped immediately to that conclusion, but, you know, sure, it's wise not to just randomly give out your credit card number, but also it takes more than just a credit card number for people to do damage to your account. You've got to have, it's the, you know, there's other stuff that you have to have, the expiration date, the number on the back. Now, one of the pictures here, they're actually using the back of it, so it does have all of that information on it.
Yeah.
So I'm not paranoid police, but, use a different card.
Yeah. It's just one of those safety type things. You know, you don't have to swim in that pond with the alligators. There's a perfectly fine pool here, 50 feet away behind the fence. Yeah. Yeah. So good call, Zoke. Thank you very much. I just had to talk about that first and just get it out of the way before he, you know, messaged me some more with a little bit more upsetness.
Yeah. And pupillary distance is, if you're going to buy your glasses online from like Zenni Optical, that's one of the questions they ask, so they know how to grind the lens. That's why you would use this.
Yeah, it's very important. If you don't have the correct pupillary distance, it doesn't matter how accurate the other parts of your per prescription is, you're not going to be able to see out of the glasses, right?
All right. Let me read an email from Charles Surrett. Says, hi, Android app addicts. Today, I have brought an app called CPP Droid. Ever wanted to code in C or CPP, which I'm assuming means C++, on your device? If so, this app may be right for you. It can compile simple code with a full IDE interface. It also has a built-in way of viewing tutorials for C and C++. That's a pretty cool app if you're a coder. I gotta imagine that would be a pretty unpleasant experience to code on a phone, though.
Well, it all comes down to the keyboard. If you have an external Bluetooth keyboard you connect to it, it will hurt your eyes unless you have a good sized tablet and a keyboard. And then I think I don't want to say it could be acceptable or usable, but it's one of those things I think technically in a pinch could work.
Right. It's good for triaging code. I wouldn't want to start with there.
Yeah. Or if you just want to, you know, learn a little bit about some code, I think it could be usable. But I really would think the hard hitting stuff you have to do. Desktop or laptop. And I'll say this, C is one of those pillars that if you understand, you understand a lot more about computers. And C++ is one of those languages that if you know, you can write code for any platform. I mean, ever, it seems like.
This is true. I've never coded in C or C++, but I know enough other languages that I can look at this code and go, yeah, okay, I can see what they're doing there. It is, the world runs on C++ though.
Yes, and I will say I'm the same way, Mark. I've never coded in any language beginning with a C. C+, C++, C#, or any other derivative there of any code like that whatsoever. All my coding has been in what used to be called XBase back in the day. One or two Borland languages, early Visual Fox Pro, which just was some XBase in object-oriented languages, and then some crappy web stuff that really isn't programming, but some people call programming.
I've got a buddy who made his entire career coding in Delphi, which was popular in the late 80s, which is when he picked it up. There's a lot of old legacy enterprise stuff written in Delphi. Nobody actually knows it anymore, so he's super high in demand just because he knows old stuff. Sometimes that's the best way to go.
Oh, yeah. I would tell somebody right now, if they wanted to make lots of money in coding in the next 5 to 10 years, go learn COBOL or Delphi, because the number of people who have intimate knowledge about it are moving on to another plane of existence, if you will. So there's plenty of job openings.
Indeed, indeed. What's your next app, my friend?
Okay. Next app I'm going to bring is... I don't want to say hokey, but kitschy maybe apps. But I will say it actually did work. I don't want to say surprisingly well, but it worked really solid. I expected it to run horribly because I don't get great Chromecast speeds is what I'm going to say. And what this is it turns your phone into a NES controller. You go through the menu, you pick a game, and then it basically streams the game to your TV. I loaded Metroid. I loaded Super Mario Brothers Classic, Super Mario Brothers 3, and I was genuinely impressed at the usability.
And of course, these are all games that you purchased and pulled the ROMs off of the cartridges.
Oh, yeah, I got them sitting right over there behind my mystical orb that I got from a guy from Saudi Arabia, but that's a story from a different show. I was genuinely shocked. I'll say the only bad part is it's touch controllers, so you have to mentally muscle memory, get down where is up, where is down, where is right, where is left, where is B, where is A. Because most of the time in the beginning when I was trying to press up, I was pressing up and left, up and almost every time for the first, you know, 5+ minutes until I got it through my head where to press correctly. I was shocked at their performance is what I'm going to say. Shocked. Completely free by Via Apps Inc. E for Everyone. 167 reviews. Does have ads and in-app purchases. 3.8 average reviews. Updated August 11th, 2017. Between 10,000 and 50,000 installs. It was just a $2.99 purchase, I believe, to turn it from the ad version to the free version, which, if you consider yourself a retro fan and you like this way of having your games on your phone and watching them on your TV, $2.99 is a steal to pay.
So you're going through the home Wi-Fi and, you know, interpolating it to, you know, a much higher resolution than it was originally created for. Is there noticeable lag as you're trying to control the device?
No, and that's what I couldn't believe, because on my Chromecast, whenever I hit play, it takes like 10 seconds for it to like recognize I hit play. I mean, I can't believe how long it takes. And I have my Chromecast next to my Odroid, and my Odroid seems I hit play and, you know, a half second later plays. So I thought it was the Chromecast is in a weird place by the TV where there's some electromagnetic field maybe causing me to have less performance. When I loaded this up, I was shocked at how close in time it was, almost imperceivable, the delay. When I was hitting it, I didn't notice any delay. It just seemed like I hit the button, he jumped immediately. I hit the other button, they shot fine. So,
have you tried it with casting to a Roku using the Chromecast protocol?
I don't believe. No, I didn't. What? No, I didn't know you could do that. I don't think.
Yeah. Most any Roku after the Roku 2 will. Show up on your screen as a Chromecast device.
Oh, well, no, then we have an earlier one because it doesn't show up on my device. The wife hasn't complained yet about speed or performance, so we have not upgraded our Roku. Yeah,
I cast to my Rokus on a regular basis. I don't have a Chromecast, but I haven't needed it. So I was just wondering if you tried that.
Yeah, I have to believe the hardware inside the Roku is technically superior to the hardware in the Chromecast. The protocol is supposed to be open, so I'd say there's no reason why the Roku shouldn't give just as good or better performance.
All right.
In my belief.
Let me read yet another email. This one is from Aaron Bruce, who says, check out Flow Free Warps. And Aaron, I know you're trying to be a friend here, but you're not doing me any favors introducing mm-hmm. me to another Flow. Says, hey guys, another Big Duck Flow game. This one wraps around the screen Pac-Man style. You can draw your line to the edge of the game and it will show up on the other side of the screen. Having Flow hexes stuck in my head, I'm on a 76-day streak and only have a few game packs left to complete the game, and strategy of warps is a bit different, so I'll probably dive into it more when I'm done with hexes, but I already threw my $2.99 CDN at them and for the ad-free version. Keep up the great work, guys. I look forward to your show every week. Cheers from Canada, Aaron.
Okay. I will say the mechanic of going from one side of the screen to the other can completely change your flow to try to beat this. And I can see how it could make it definitely, I don't want to say harder, but a little bit more time consuming figuring out those patterns kind of thing.
All right, install it.
I'm afraid to show this to my son.
I've beat hexes. I've done all the puzzles on hexes. That's how addicted I am to this type of game. So I'm a little concerned about installing this, but I also can't not install it.
Well, then I hope there's not a lot of levels so we can have you back again next week. Very cool.
I can just feel the seconds of my life ebbing away. All right, what's your next one?
Gotcha. Next one I'm going to bring only because of its popularity, with the stipulation, it's a lie. The cake is a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's still cool, but it's a lie. Titanfall is one of those games on, I believe, Xbox and PS4. I don't even know if it's on PC. It has to be on PC. That for at least a limited amount of time was insanely popular, like crazy popular. So they just released Titanfall Assault on Android by Nexon M, T14, 37,000 reviews, 4.1 average reviews, updated August the 3rd, between 1 million and 5 million installs, current version 0.0727.35476. What the hell are they smoking over there? That's a crazy version number. I do believe August the 3rd was the day it came out. So it already has between 1 million and 5 million installs. In-app purchases look like they start at $3.99. It's completely free to download and install. No ads. So maybe that's a plus. This is a, I want to say, RTS real-time strategy game. That is not Titanfall. Titanfall is not real-time strategy game. Titanfall is shoot, shoot, bang, bang, blow up, big bot. Hyper jumps and stuff like that. So this is almost akin to, I would say, a combination of Red Alert and card-based mechanics a little bit. It was fun, don't get me wrong, but it was definitely the kind of game, Mark, where less than 2 hours into it, you would uninstall because it had that mechanic of, oh, you got to wait X amount of time for something to build up. I can't remember what it was. I played one complete cycle before it told me that, then I uninstalled it.
Betting that version number, the build date was July 27th at 3:54 p.m., and it was the 76th revision.
Good call, good call. There you go. That's why you're the Sultan, and I'm just a geek. But, if you're a Titanfall fan at all, something tells me you will find genuine enjoyment out of this because it's the same principles, just in a different gameplay mechanic, is what I'll say.
It looks like a tower defense. Is that what it is? Or is it a FPS? What I can't make out by the pictures what it is, and I'm not playing the video.
You're close, because you're close. The most agreed upon description was a mix of real time strategy and tower defense. And you could be either side of the tower defense game. You could be the guys on the marching, or you could be the guys doing the fending. When I played it, I kept thinking it was kind of like XCOM, which is really strategy, real-time strategy game. But I can definitely see the towerness, if you will, in it.
All right. Just doesn't look like a game I'd be interested in, and knowing that they're going to make me wait 24 hours or pay some emeralds or something. Thanks for telling me that. I don't have to install it.
Well, it's now you know. And no one's half the battle.
Many things are half the battle. Losing is half the battle. Let us focus on what is all the battle. And that is apps and emails. I have one more email to read to you. Once again, from our friend Charles. He says, I recently got a Moto E4, and I'm loving it. I would love to get your thoughts on it. I can't speak to the Moto E4, but the Moto G4 I liked a lot.
Yeah, I'll say this is one of the most, I don't want to say negative things, but one of the most confusing things about Motorola. They're putting out too many damn devices this year. They've literally kind of went crazy. I want to say they're like up to like maybe 14 phones this year. It's literally insane. And their version names aren't different enough as far as I'm concerned. So it's going to be really confusing. I'll say, looking at the specs on Boost Mobile, 5-inch touchscreen because it's a Boost phone, 8-megapixel rear-facing camera, 5-megapixel front-facing. Those are low. 16-gig RAM, 2 gigs of RAM. I don't see that being a fun experience. 1.4 quad core processor, Snapdragon 427. So essentially that's over four generations old, because now we're up to the 800s. Android 7.1, I guess that's cool, right?
Yeah, the Moto E is their entry-level phone, usually under 175, sometimes under right. 150.
Well, I can tell you right now from Boost, you can get it for $59. So I'll say, for the price, it sounds perfectly fine.
And with you should get stellar battery life with those relatively modest specs.
Yeah, 2,800 milliamp battery, which is fair size with those specs, because the screen, I'm guessing, is not a, you know, anything like a quad HD screen. All it says is HD screen. Yeah, you should be able to go throughout the day, use this phone a fair amount, and still have battery at the end.
Yeah, Moto E4 unlocked, no contract, 16 gigs of RAM is $129.99. Honestly, yeah. I'd pay the extra 60 or 70 bucks to upgrade to the G. But if you just want a phone for a phone, you can't go wrong with this one.
Yeah, the only thing that I would find aggravating, to be honest, is the 16 gig of internal space. Even me, I'm not a big picture taker or anything, but I'm sure even I, after a couple of weeks, would start getting the message low on disk space kind of thing.
And while Android 7 is better, it still doesn't handle SD cards as well as you'd like.
Are we ever going to have an Android device properly handle SD cards, Mark? Because I can tell you, I don't think it's going to happen.
You should just put it in, and it expands the amount of space you have available. That's how it should work. But no.
Yes, a SimLink.
Right.
Yeah, something we've had in the Linux and the Unix world for 20-plus years that just works. And it uses NICS type file system hierarchy and partitioning, so there's no reason why they can't do it. Except for maybe Google thinks it's evil or sexist to do
there
such
it
things.
Is.
Sorry,
dude. We'd get there eventually. Motorola is definitely the king of the middleware market right now. The middling phone. They're not
and the low.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I'd call that necessarily a low end. It's not like a blue phone for $69 or whatever. But it's definitely the mid grade phone, and they're quality products. Can't really knock them for their build or anything like that. They're going with 2-year-old technology repackaged in a modern package at a low price. So there you go.
Yeah, I'll say, to me, anything lower than this shouldn't be used as a phone. I can see buying it to use like a Walkman, use it for a kid to be like a walkie-talkie, buy one to be a Octoprint screen for your 3D printer kind of thing. But to use anything less as a phone and to expect anything except for an aggravating experience is foolish.
But those are,
because there's no way.
Those are better specs than, say, the Nexus One, for example. You know, what most people consider the first modern Android phone. It's better specs than that. So it's, you just got to look at it with the right lens. It's not that it's the specs are not usable. It's just that we have societal expectations beyond that.
Exactly. It's trying to use dial up when everyone's on gigabit.
Right.
In my opinion.
All right. What's your next app today, my friend?
Next app was another app I got from somebody that I can't remember who it was. But I brought a temp email a couple weeks ago. Temp email was a great way to, on the fly, make, I don't want to say fake email addresses, because they're not fake. They're just temporary, and they're used typically for single purposes. So they're disposable email addresses. I had actually two people, I believe, tell me this one was actually much, much better. It's called Spam Box, a anonymous temp email by Bullet Cluster. 9 reviews, E for everyone's. Looks like there's no ads no ads, no in-app purchases, completely free to use. 4.8 reviews, only 9 reviews again. Updated August 16, 2017, between 500 and 1,000 installs, current version 2.0. Okay, now here's one of the honest-to-goodness pluses. I'm not going to lie. When you use a temporary email with the purposeful intention of bypassing somebody else's system so you don't have to give them a real email address, you want to use a system or a service that is less popular. The most popular services, if it's a good system, will block you from using that email. Like, you remember back in the day, Mark, Gorilla Mail?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the go-to forever. And then when too many people started to use it, sites started to say, okay, we're not going to accept an email through that service kind of thing. So then you had to find different ones. And it seems like the less popular one is, the better off you'll be. This only has 9 reviews. This only has between 500 and 1,000 installs. You should be perfectly fine using this one for a long while, is what I'm going
to
say.
And just to be clear, this isn't about bypassing anything. This will deliver the mail to you. This is just so that you can get that click here to prove I'm a real person, just to complete that authentication loop. So I don't think this is wrong or immoral in any way. This is just like in my own website, for example, elementop.com, you have to click a link in an email to complete the sign up process, because I just want to verify you're a person. So I think this is a fine thing to go. You don't care about that. You're never going to use it again. Yeah, great. Make it happen. If you're signing up, you know, with a fake email address so that you can scam somebody, that's a different thing. But it looks to me like the intent of this is just to get past that email confirmation loop and nothing more.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say, I despise the days that over half the time I check my inbox because of a notification, it's bacon email. It's email I did not explicitly sign up for, but I am a part of that service. And I spend too many of my hours going through the email, scrolling down to the bottom, knowing it's the service that I'm have an account with. Click that unsubscribe link, and then having the audacity to tell me it could take between 5 and 10 days for us to take you off our list. Yeah, not cool. Not cool. And even now when I go places and they say, okay, you know, for like my insurance thing, okay, this, and can we have an email address? No, you can't. What do you mean we can't? I get enough spam email. I don't want to get offers from you guys for cheaper insurance. I'm perfectly fine with the insurance I have. Just call me.
Yeah, that's, you know, my response is, do you have an email? I say, not that I want to give to you.
Right. Well, and it turns out they don't need it. Because you could just go to the Geico, because that's who hit me, Geico, claims thing, put in my birthday, and put in my phone number I gave them, and I can log into their interface, upload pictures, send messages, and everything else. So I don't even need to give them my email. And I'm just to the point now where I'm literally tempted to make an email address up. I hate giving you my email address @gmail.com or something like that. Just so maybe they'll get the message. But you know they won't.
You ever check your spam mail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't ever.
I'm so OCD about that, Mark. I can't stop. And I'll say once every year to 3 years, there is a truly genuine email in there from somebody I've already had contact with multiple times in the same email address. And for some reason or another, it goes to spam. And I don't know why. Well, because it's too simple of an email that's been sent with just like 2 words and a hyperlink. And I can't believe I just said hyperlink. I'm not old, Mark.
It just occurred to me, I for a time, one of my jobs was mail administrator. And, you know, I was like programming the Bayesian filter and all that. And I'd spent hours a day, 6, 8, 10 hours a day trolling through spam to pull out the ham. But now that I'm just a regular guy with a Gmail account, I never check it. Even if somebody says, I sent you something and, you know, did you get it? I don't even check it. I just say, send it again. I don't ever check my spam. Gmail has really solved the spam problem for the most part. They're so accurate because they have access to so much data. It's almost never wrong.
Yeah. And I have seen the beauty, the reason why they're so good at it is because there's so many people signed up to their service. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, they get the big numbers. So if they see the same email from the same address with the same subject line and the same body, or even slightly different variances, hit 20,000 email inboxes in a 2-minute time frame, oh, it's spam. Because I've been sitting in my inbox and I've seen email in my browser disappear. And then I looked at the spam folder and it's now there. They basically let it deliver to my inbox, and that quickly proactively figured it out and silently moved it to my spam box with me doing nothing.
Nice.
And I mean, you know, and I'm not even paying for the service. Well, you know, with money. Right.
The spam problem is not what it used to be. Kids today will never know what the real fight against spam was like.
Yeah, I remember, Mark. Honestly, I don't remember much, but I remember like about my, we were in this house, so it had to be less than 7 years ago. I'd say like 6 years ago, sitting upstairs at my kitchen table with my laptop in front of me and watching my inbox emails showing up. And I counted it after a while, 10 emails every second. And then at the most, it was going up to 60 emails every second to where I tried, me being OCD, I'm sitting there trying to keep up with them. And mark, delete. And after like a half an hour of doing it, they wouldn't stop coming. And when I went to bed, it was literally something like 100,000 emails were in my inbox. And they were all like two or three letter subject lines with like three or four letter bodies with a link in it. Mm-hmm. And it just would not stop. And I remember the next morning waking up thinking, I don't want to open my email. Oh man, I don't want to open my email. How many am I going to have now? I opened my inbox and Google took care of them all. But during that afternoon or night, a good email could have came through and I would have never known.
Right.
Ever. And you guys these days are spoiled rotten because you don't even know what I'm talking about. This is like some bad Hollywood movie.
There was a time before Google. It was ugly. It was ugly.
Yeah, with Hotmail. Ugh. Yeah, it was bad. And Yahoo Mail.
And then, you know, downloading your own pop messages, 300 messages that had to re-download every time you connected over your dial-up modem. Checking email was something you put on your calendar. It was an event. It was part of your day. I'm going to block out this part of my day to check email.
Two words, Mark. Outlook Express.
I just threw up in my mouth a little.
I know, but it was that bad, but everybody used it.
Right, because it was free.
Yeah.
All right, next app, please.
Okay, next I'm going to bring is just one of those kind of have to bring things. Google is starting to make bigger, broader changes in Android, period, is what I'm going to say. We've all loaded up either a Moto phone from a couple years ago or any Samsung phone since the beginning of time and seen their own homebrew baked contact thing. Google finally took contacts and broke it out as a separate app. So now if you want to ensure that whenever you go from your current device to the next device, you can use the exact same contacts manager or person application, you can now just download contacts from Google. I'll say this, it's a simple, fine, plain interface with plain basic options. Anything I think you could need it to do. One of the things they do have built into the app is the ability to clean up duplicates or add people it thinks it needs to add from your call log and stuff like that. Just cleaning up the duplicates alone, if they do that, even like 50% right, it could save people so much aggravation when going through their contacts list.
If you've been using a Pure Experience phone, this is the contacts app you've been using all along. If you're using straight up AOSP, it's kind of cool that they've unbundled this because that used to be one of the things that you had to include to be like Google certified for your Android installation. So they've unbundled that, surprisingly. I like it. It's a solid app. It does what things should do. I was looking through my contacts list the other day, and it was like I have vendors from companies that probably aren't even in business anymore, you know, that I used to do business with back in 1998. And I've just been carrying my contacts from the SIM card. Remember back in the days when you would keep it on the SIM itself, you know, and they're all in my Google contacts just over the years. And they've been merged together from different accounts. I really need to go through there and clean that up someday. But why when you can just search? That's what Google has done to us. Why delete when you can search? So I have thousands, literally, that's not an exaggeration, thousands of contacts that I just will never use and never need again.
Yeah. As long as they use a little common sense, archive them to be in a further down search result. Based upon usage, hypothetically, you haven't gotten a email or a phone call from them in over, 2 years, it should be further down in the contacts list and not be seen in your main interface kind of thing. Because I don't want to say I have the same problem. I know I have a similar problem. I honestly can't, I don't have no idea the amount of contacts that are in my address book that are completely useless. Mm-hmm. Either they literally died, which, you know, it happens as you get older.
Some of those.
Or, right, or, you know, they already moved on and, you know, she changed her name. I added her as her new record and now I have two of them kind of thing. Or like I've had people who said, okay, I'm breaking away from Google, never use my Gmail address again. And I forgot to go back and delete it from my contacts. So every time I search that person's name, I got to skip the first two or three and go down to the fourth one every time.
Yeah, I don't even know who some of these people are. I don't remember. Apparently at some point I decided to put them in my BlackBerry or my Palm. But I don't remember who they are. Anyway, contacts. It's a thing.
Yeah. And I'll say on the full desktop browser, little tip, load up your normal Gmail client. Go to the full, you know, new, bright, flashy, shiny one. On the upper left-hand corner, click the word Gmail and you can access all your contacts on your desktop. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's easier to manage them from there than on your phone. But if you know, it's just an option. I remember first time I found that, I remember sitting there for literally like 2 days cleaning out my contacts. But apparently, you know, I didn't do quite good enough of a job.
I use the web version of contacts primarily. I mean, that's just the easiest way to put information in.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, next up on the old app list.
Okay, this one I really was going to hold off for Eric because I love how he loves getting trolled by beta apps. This app is called Beta Testing Catalog by Alexei Shabavanov. I actually might have gotten that right. My goodness. E for Everyone contains ads, 26 reviews, completely free to download, no in-app purchases, 4.4 average reviews, updated June 17th, 2017, between 1,000 and 5,000 installs, version 3.0.2. This is basically a way that if you want to, you can peruse applications that are currently in testing or beta status. You can find them. You can then, it then helps you sign up to them so you can test newer apps or see what's coming in newer apps before the rest of us actually can. One thing I honestly like about some of these beta apps, it then allows me to have two versions installed. Biggest example I'll give you is Phoenix 2. I honestly, you can have multiple Twitter accounts signed into Phoenix. It's very easy, but I find it even easier to use one account on the Phoenix application and one account on the Phoenix 2 application. So I know I need to go to Podnuts. Let me click this icon. I need to go to Door-to-Door Geek. Let me click that icon. So I never accidentally post stuff to the wrong, account. It just makes it, it takes one of those things that I can mess up out of the equation.
Not a lot of reviews. 3 reviews.
Right.
Let's see, how many installs? Over 1,000. I just think there's just not a lot of people who are go in search of beta apps. So, but if it's your thing, you'll know.
Well, it's both, I think, beta. I mean, when it comes to applications, beta typically means flaky or crashy, and it is new. This thing was not put out by somebody, I think, with a lot of traction. This was literally just some guy putting it out on his own. So, you know, you get what you get, but I'll say it works perfectly fine, and you're not going to accidentally sign up to be a beta tester on every app on your phone like I think Eric somehow accidentally did.
All right, that brings our total to 8. Give us a double-barrel shotgun blast that'll take us to 10 and end the evening.
Okay, first one I'm going to bring, even though it has a horrible title, and that's because it has the word Vista in it, and we are scorned and burnt and scarred for the rest of our lives with the word Vista. But it's called Vista Golf by Shallot Games LLC. E for Everyone does contain ads, 466 reviews, 4.3 average reviews, updated August 17th, 2017, between 50,000 and 100,000 installs, current version 1.2.1. It's still a pretty new game, no video in the store. It's a Monument Valley-esque stylized mini golf game. And the mini golf is definitely much more normal physics and not Monument Valley. I just wanted to bring the artistic image of Monument Valley kind of thing into here. Very easy controls. One of the things I liked about the controls, I'm 99% sure now that I say it out loud, you don't have to click on the ball and drag to aim. You click anywhere on the screen and aim. So you can see the ball, see the arrow much easier, in my opinion.
It's basically a pool game, but with a golf ball.
Yes. Pool with a deformed, malformed table. Yes. Same thing. And, simple, fun, nothing, crazy, excited, but simple fun.
All right.
Okay. The last one I'm going to bring is the kind of thing that if you know me, you knew it was coming sooner or later. And this is one of the applications I personally don't really use yet. That was much harder to say than it needed to be. This is the Nintendo Switch Online app. The real reason to use this app right now is to do voice chat with Splatoon 2. Here's an example of nobody's perfect. To force an end user to play a game on your console, but have the voice chat on a separate piece of hardware, and not allowing said end user to even turn the screen off on his phone or switch to another application while using the chat, is a complete horrible fail. I mean, this is maybe one of the biggest fails I've ever seen by what I consider to be a really successful company. Now, the devil's advocate is, well, it's a soft launch and it's only one game in, and they're going to fix it over time. Okay, sure. Yeah, okay, whatever. But to launch it like this is really bad. I would literally say if you only require voice chatting, there's better solutions. Discord is much better. Mumble is much better. Hell, Skype or Hangouts is much better. You don't get the genuine interactions with the game that you can do with this game, but I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be doing any voice chatting if I had Splatoon 2, because you literally can either listen to the game or the voice chat. I think it's difficult to listen to both. And then when I'm playing a game, I thought I would like to hear the game.
Yeah. And so do you find friends using your Nintendo ID? Is that the value of this?
You have a friend code that you can give people, or there's game codes to enter certain game instances. And like you are supposed, well, before you go in on your Switch, you can say, here's my friend code 5433385444465685444321 0. Boom. Do you want to connect? Yes. Oh, you just connected with Door to Door Geek kind of thing. And then in the app, it's very easy to see Door to Door Geek is playing a game right now, here's the game mode he's playing kind of thing, and it should make it easier to find me while I'm playing. Yes.
So in the bottom section of your in attention, you can use the Nintendo Switch Online app for free until the paid subscription service launches in 2018. So not only is it not good, but the intention is to charge you for it later. To not be able to turn off your screen, that's just ridiculous. Just utterly ridiculous.
That's just poor programming, I guess, is what I'll say, or lack of effort in programming. I will say what you're going to end up paying for is not this. Other game services cost, I think, around $50 a year. The Nintendo is going to be, I want to say, $23 or $28 a year, so almost half price, literally $2 a month. And what you're paying for is not this. What you're paying for is their exclusive access to a set of games or a game free each month. That's at least the justification on what you're paying for. And every game that has online, I believe, is right now obligated to make their online service compatible with this service. So once you pay for the service, any extra thing offered by a game online will be available through this same app or same service. Sorry, same service.
One of the reviews here says that while it's active, alarms don't work. So if you've set an alarm to remind yourself to stop playing a game, you're out of luck.
Yeah. Maybe they hired somebody from Microsoft to code or something.
Nice.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, to expect perfection is a exercise in futility. And I think this is just another piece of evidence for that.
All right. And those are your 10 apps for tonight. Pupil Distance Meter by Tech Positive, CPP Droid by Anton Smirnov, Cast NES by Via Apps, VApps Incorporated, Flow Free Raps by Big Duck Games LLC, Titanfall Assault by Nexon M Incorporated, Spambox Anonymous Temp Email by Bullet Cluster, Contacts by Google Inc., Beta Testing Catalog by Alexei Shabanov, Vista Golf by Shallot Games LLC, and Nintendo Switch Online, the crap app of the night, by Nintendo Company Limited. There you go, for the people who say we never say the games, the names of the apps.
Yeah, they haven't said that for a while, and I almost dare them to. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. I'm not. Just kidding. Just kidding.
All right, Dor, it's been a pleasure being back with you once again. You have dropped some knowledge on me. I as always, I leave here with more apps than I came here with. I got to say, I've been a listener since long before I was a host of this show. Most of the apps on my phone came from this show, truly. So thank you for the service you provide.
No problem, man. I'll just say this. I'm really getting sick and tired of every show being unbelievably Hollywood-like and ending this show with a diatribe of, so, why don't you plug yourself? Why don't you plug yourself? Why don't you plug yourself? It's almost like there's some kind of sadomasochistic deviant thing going on there. You want to know? Click the notes. Click the friggin' notes. It's in there. We don't have to talk about it every friggin' show, especially every friggin' show. That just gives people an excuse to skip. So what I'll say, Mark, I love you for everything you do. I love you for everything that you've done. You're a hell of a good guy. Eric, too. You guys are two of the funnest guys I've had my times with here on internet podcast land. I want to thank everyone for downloading. Thanks, everyone, for the support. The support means everything to me, especially when I have stuff like health going down the drain, oldest child's health possibly going down the drain, getting nailed in the back by a multi-ton truck. It just feels so damn nice to come and hang with you guys.
And so I'm going to say what he won't say. Go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and pay the man. Really. I shouldn't have to say anything more than that. You like the show? Pay for it. If you don't pay for it, it might go away. Plain and simple. So there you go. Yeah.
Think of it as a bribe.
That's right. People in other countries, they know bribes really well. If you want to get something done, you bribe it. Maybe we need to institute that here in the U.S. a little more. If you slip door some coin, you might bring you 11 apps next week instead of just 10.
It would be a shame if something happened to Android App Addicts.
You know, this might be an interesting experiment. You only bring the number of apps for the number of people that signed up that week.
That's a bold thing that I don't think I have the machismo to say.
You could do that for like a quarter, for like 2 or 3 months, and just say, you know, this week we got one app, and thank you, Eric Johnson, for the one app.
Wow, I am scared, Mark. I can't say yes, Mark. I'm scared.
Something to think about.
I know.
And so, listening audience, I'll leave that for you to think about too. Do you want to support? Do you want to hear more than one app? It's up to you. Pay the man. And having said that, I'll say that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Hey, friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.